Good morning, good morning. How are you doing this morning? It's awesome to be with you on this Sunday morning. As Dan mentioned, Pastor Chad is in the traditional service this morning with the confirmands, and that's so exciting that we're having 36 confirmands say yes to following in the footsteps of Christ. And because Pastor Chad's teaching in the sanctuary this morning, I'm delighted to be able to be here with you this morning teaching, and it's just so exciting to be here. I wasn't able to be in worship last week when you had your big Shine service, because I was over in the traditional service. But I've heard amazing things and amazing stories about how that service was such a blessing. And I would love after worship for you to come up and share your experience and what you took away from that service and how God blessed you through that service. Show of hands, who dyed Easter eggs last weekend? Any Easter egg dyers? Okay, yeah. Did anybody have the Easter bunny visit? Any Easter egg hunts out there? Yeah, I see all the kids raising their hands. And did anybody enjoy a nice dinner following maybe worship on Sunday? Do you guys have a good, family and friend dinner? Well, I had a chance to do all three of those things. Easter bunny visited, great dinner after church, and dyed those Easter eggs up at my parents-in-law in Clarkston. We had a great Sunday Easter celebration. So who was in worship last Sunday? Were you, yeah? Okay, I see almost everybody's hand. So you had an opportunity to either check out the Sunrise Easter service or one of our three traditional services or a couple of our Shine worship services here. We had six services going on. So last week there was plenty of opportunities to come and worship and experience that the tomb, that the tombstone had been rolled away, and to experience that the grave was empty, and experience that Christ had risen. Well, this morning we're going to be taking a look at a scripture passage that's continuing that Easter story. Most Christians just know that Easter is a one-day Sunday celebration. However, really, Easter is a whole season-long celebration. In the church, we celebrate Easter for 50 days. So that's going to take us all the way up until June. We're going to be celebrating this season of Easter. It's not just one Sunday where we come to worship and experience the empty tomb and dye the eggs and have the great dinner and have the Easter bunny come. But Easter is an entire season. It's a season where we experience the risen Christ among us, and it's a season where we experience new hope and new life because Christ has risen from the grave. So if you were in a traditional service last week, now if you're not always a Shine worshiper, if you were in the traditional service last week, we sang the song, Up from the Grave He Arose, and we took a look at the scripture passage where Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she discovered that the stone had been rolled away, and she discovered that it was empty. Now Mary Magdalene went, and she began to panic. You know, she had gone to the tomb to grieve and to mourn the loss of her beloved rabbi and teacher and friend. And when she went, she discovered the tomb was rolled away and it was empty. And so she immediately thought that someone had stolen the body. So she went back to find some of those great disciples, thinking that maybe they could help her. And she brought two of the disciples to the tomb. And they, in fact, did see what she was talking about. Jesus wasn't there. Well, we know that the story continues that, right, she had a conversation with a gardener. We later discover that gardener was Jesus. And we discover why the tomb was empty, because he had resurrected. He had conquered the grave. Death couldn't hold him. The tomb couldn't hold him. Christ lived and reigned. Well, this morning I'm going to invite you to turn to Scripture as we continue this story, this Easter story. We're going to be looking to the next passages right after that experience at the graveside. So I'd invite you to turn in your Bible with you. If you didn't have an opportunity earlier, go ahead and go grab a Bible. Otherwise, I think we'll probably have it on the screen here. And we're going to be looking at John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. And it's on the page up there. The scripture reads, On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands, and he showed him his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. For as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? Most loving and gracious God, we are Easter people that have gotten to celebrate the miracle story of the resurrection, knowing that the grave could not hold you, knowing that you conquered death and live and reign with us today. Lord, as we dig deeper into this passage, I pray that you might speak to me and speak through me, that we might hear a message through this scripture. And I pray, Lord, that you might challenge us to take these words of Jesus, these instructions of Jesus, seriously. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this passage that we just read, if it's possible to keep it up for a little bit longer, that'd be great. This passage that we just read narrates this encounter that Jesus had with the disciples. So first, in the morning, he visited Mary at the tomb, and now he has this first encounter with the disciples. And they're meeting in a house. Maybe it was the upper room. Maybe it was the upper room where Jesus broke bread and shared the cup. Maybe it was the upper room where Jesus would have celebrated the Lenten Passover with his disciples on the night before he was crucified. So he comes to them, perhaps in this upper room. And he says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows him his hands, and he shows him his side, because he wants right away for them to identify with who he is. Because, right, it would be natural to think that this is maybe a ghost or some man standing before them. It couldn't be Jesus. It couldn't be our rabbi. It couldn't be our teacher. So he shows him his hands, the hands that had marks, had nail marks in them. And then he showed him his side, where he had been pierced. And instantly they realize that it's Jesus that's standing in their midst, and they celebrate. Christ had risen. Christ had truly risen indeed. But then what's fascinating, what takes place next. He doesn't just stay with the disciples and worship with the disciples. He doesn't share more parables and good stories. Something takes place next. The next part of the passage tells us that he doesn't waste time explaining a simple instruction for them. Can you see what the instruction is? In verse 21 in John's gospel, we discover this instruction. It says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So this is a passage about the Great Commission. This is a passage where Jesus blesses the disciples and all of us, right? We can read ourselves into this story. Jesus blesses these disciples to go forth in his name, to be his hands and to be his feet, to continue his ministry, which he started 3 years earlier. Just as the Father had sent Jesus, now Jesus was sending all of these disciples to go out into the world and to do something very specific, to tell his story and to share his love. Those two things is what he had in mind for them. So they were to go out and tell his story. And part of telling his story of who Jesus of Nazareth was is to tell the teaching stories. So they're supposed to share the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. They're supposed to go forth and talk about the parables about the kingdom of God. They're supposed to share the message, this radical message that Jesus always had a way of turning things up, you know, flipping them around. He always did that to everybody. They were supposed to go forth and share the teachings of Christ. But the other part of telling his story was also to share specifically the events of the last week of his life, those Holy Week events. They are supposed to go forth telling about the Passover supper that they experienced with Jesus in the upper room. They're supposed to go forth and tell the world about how Jesus broke bread and took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you, and this is my blood, which is shed and poured out for you, and every time you do this, do this in remembrance of me." They were supposed to go forth and tell that story to the world. And then they're also supposed to tell the story to the world about what happened on Good Friday. To tell the story of Jesus' crucifixion on the cross and how he breathes his last breath. And then he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And then the disciples were also commissioned to tell his story of the resurrection. I think the best part of that story. They're supposed to go forth and share the story that the grave was rolled away and that he had risen and he lives and he reigns and he's with us today. The grave couldn't keep him. It couldn't. He's brought us new life and new hope. So the disciples were supposed to go and tell that story. But then the disciples were also supposed to, what? Share his love, right? That's the second part of this Great Commission. Tell the story and share the love. So like Jesus, they were to feed the hungry, they were supposed to clothe the naked, heal the sick, love the lonely, welcome the outcast, befriend the enemy, break bread, and share the cup with a stranger. All those things that Jesus had been doing for 3 years. He's supposed to do those things. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick, love the lonely, welcome the outcast, befriend the enemy, break bread, and share the cup with a stranger. Whew. Whew, right? That's a large task. That's a good task. But remember that Jesus breathes into them the Holy Spirit, right? He breathes into them the Holy Spirit. Now, does that sound familiar? If you've ever studied Genesis, right? God breathed into them the breath of life. Jesus was breathing into them the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, to empower them to go out and do these things in his name, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to welcome the outcast, to forgive the sinner, all of those things. So we don't go forth alone. We go forth empowered and filled with this Holy Spirit to help us do that. So they were to share Christ's love just as Christ had loved them. So friends, we're the disciples of Christ too. Our names aren't in this passage, but they could be. We are the disciples of Christ following in his footsteps. So this great commission that we read about from John's Gospel chapter 20 is for us too. It's extended to us too. So we're supposed to do those things, tell his story and share the love. Share the love. John Wesley, who's John Wesley? Please tell a neighbor if you don't know next to you. John Wesley was the leader of the Methodist movement that paved the way for what we now call the United Methodist Church. Love John Wesley, has some amazing sermons. John Wesley, in another way of saying, love those and serve those that God loves and serves. John Wesley said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all of the ways you can, in all of the places you can, in all the times you can, to all of the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's John Wesley. So how would you summarize this quote? Basically, we can summarize it by saying, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Tell Jesus' story. Tell Jesus' story. And share his love. So I have an important question for you. Are you willing to tell Ella his story? And are you willing to share his love? Are you willing to do something? Are you willing to get involved? Matthew West has this great song that I'm going to have us take a look at. It's called Do Something. And my challenge to you is, how are you going to do something? Take a look. Isn't that a great song? I was scrolling through Facebook this week, and a friend posted that, and I hadn't seen the video. I love that song now. It's a great song. Matthew West says, I woke up this morning, saw the world full of troubles now, and thought, how do we ever get this far down? How is it ever going to turn around? So I looked my eyes up to heaven, and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you. Amen, right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, amen? God created all of us to do something. So the question is, are you willing to do something? Are you willing to go out and share his love? Are you willing to go out and tell his story? Are you willing to go out and do something? But the interesting thing about going out and do something is that it requires a lot of strength, right? It requires a lot of sustenance. It requires a lot of energy and strength to be able to go out and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick, love the lonely, welcome the outcast, befriend the enemy, break bread, and share a cup with a stranger. It requires a lot of energy to do that. So we gather around the communion table to get our nourishment, to get our strength. Now, there's lots of opportunities for us to go out and do something, especially this week. Take out your bulletin for a moment. Pull out the insert, would you? So, shameless plug for you guys to be able to get involved. So, pull out your bulletin. Let's see here. Sacks for Souls, tag a bag. So the Hunger Ministry is a ministry that fundraises and raises money to support different hunger ministries in the Oakland County area, in Detroit, in Michigan at General, in all of the United States and around the world. So at the end of the worship service, or when you're coming in the doors this morning, I'm not sure which is which, but hopefully you were able to get a bag. On the outside of it has a list of things that you can bring back. So next week, we want you guys to bring that back. Bring back your Raisin Bran and your Bisquick and your mac and cheese, right? Mac and cheese, your tuna, right? Bring back some stuff so you can share the love. That's one opportunity for you to get involved, to tell his story and share the love. If you keep flipping through your insert, rummage sale this week. Who's volunteering at the rummage sale this week? Okay. Okay, I won't make those of you who are not raising your hand raise it, but this is a call out for you to be able to serve at the rummage sale. The rummage sale is a way that about 50 ministries are supported, 50 different missions are supported. Through all of the rummage stuff that gets dropped off throughout the week and it gets sold, all of that money goes to support different missions. And you have an opportunity to serve and make a difference, whether you're volunteering or you're buying the stuff. That's a way to serve. That's a way to get involved. That's a way to make God's love known in the world. Okay, one other flyer I want you to take a look at. The Imagine No Malaria Mother's Day Corsage Sale. Pull out that one for a minute, would you? So Imagine No Malaria is this campaign that the United Methodist Church is doing, realizing that every 60 seconds, so we've been in worship, you know, it'll be for an hour, so how many lives is that? Every 60 seconds, someone dies because of malaria. Malaria is very treatable. Malaria is very preventable. And there's 11.5 million United Methodists that are raising up and saying, we want to put an end to malaria. And our church is saying, yes, we want to support that amazing cause. So on Mother's Day, we're going to take a great Mother's Day offering, and all of the money that's raised will go to help in malaria. Well, the middle school and the high school students want to do something too. So the middle school, high school students on the day before, we're going to make corsages. I don't know if it's roses or carnations, what we've ordered, but we're going to make corsages. And then we're going to sell them on Mother's Day for $10. Because $10 goes towards the purchase of a bed net. And one way that they're able to help treat and prevent malaria is to put bed nets over people's beds at night. Because they've discovered that malaria that passes through a mosquito bite tends to bite most at night. So when people sleep under this bed net at night, they're safe from getting infected with malaria. So all of the money that's raised is going to go help purchase bed nets, including the youth. So we would love to have you come help and be a part of ending malaria. So there's plenty of opportunities to serve here. And as I said, it takes lots of strength. It takes lots of energy. It takes lots of effort. And so we gather around the communion table this morning to be nourished. We gather to be nourished so that we might be able to go out in the world and serve as Christ's hands and feet. We gather around the communion table to break the bread and to share the cup, to remember as Jesus gathered with his disciples around, on the night in which he gave himself up, he said that this is my body which is broken and given for you. Every time that you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. And then Jesus took a cup after the supper was over, and he blessed the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he said, this cup is a sign of a new covenant, which is made between you. This cup is the blood of my blood that will be poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, do so in remembrance of me. So in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, and we offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice in union and in celebration with what Christ has done for us. Will you please pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry into all of the world, until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours. Friends, the communion table is set. It is here for you. It's welcome for all people to come and to receive the life-nourishing elements so that you might be empowered to go out in the world and tell his story and share his love. As you come through the center aisle to receive your elements, I would then invite you to go to one of the prayer stations before you get to your seat. And at one of the prayer stations, there's a sign that says, "How will you serve God?" Just like we saw in the video, people had their answers. So I'd invite you to write on a piece of paper, "How are you going to serve God this week, this month, this year?" And then you can go ahead and make your way back to the table or back to your seat. I would invite the communion servers to come forward. So I've discovered that I'm terrible at giving the instructions, because one of my intentions was for you to take your sign back to your chair with you, and then you could take it home. And I was going to have you hold up your signs right now, and everybody would look around. Did anybody keep their sign and take it with them? I saw a whole bunch of awesome signs up there. Anybody? Yeah? Raise your sign. Cool. Cool. How are you going to serve this week? How are you going to make a difference? What thing are you going to do? How are you going to tell his story and share his love? Friends, may you go forth to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.